Hi, this is Keith Overholt, President and CEO of the Downtown Rescue Mission, coming to you another podcast of Stories of Hope. And today I have my friend with me, Sean, and she's going to tell us a little bit about her story. And I always tell people, don't be nervous, don't be worried. You know, it'll be, it's nice and all you're doing is talking to me and, you know, the millions of people out there in the, But listen, Sean, tell us a little bit about who Sean is.
Okay, well, Sean, I was born in 1969, California. You know, my parents were old hippies. I moved from California when I was about 9 years old. My mom worked at Pacific Bell, which got transferred to South Central Bell. So we moved to Tennessee when I was about 9 or 10. And I have a twin sister, and I have a brother and sister that are twins. You know, I've been married. You know, I was married for 15 years between two husbands. I have three daughters. I have five grandkids. One on the way.
Wow. Well, let's go back to the beginning.
Okay. All right? Okay.
Yeah. So California.
California.
Yeah, beach girl or
no? Because I was young.
Yeah,
I was young. But you know, I once we moved back to, I don't really remember much of my childhood in California. But I just remember a few things, you know, off and on, but not much.
You said mom and dad were hippies. Talk
they
about
were
that.
Old hippies.
Yeah,
I know they had a sailboat one time. They named it Old Hippie.
Oh wow.
You know? Like from the Willie Nelson song, he's an old hippie.
Hmm.
So they named it that. Then my mom went to Woodstock and went to the Beatles, you know, concert. And they were, you know, they were the wild. I guess that's where I got my wildness from.
Well, that's good. Hey, just move your mic a little bit closer. Okay. You got to talk right in your mic. Yeah, there you go. You're good.
Okay.
So you said you were about 10 or 11 years old and you started to move to Tennessee?
Yeah, we drove from a van all the way from California to Tennessee. We lived right outside of Chattanooga at first. Then my mom got transferred to Clarksville, Tennessee.
Okay.
So Clarksville, Tennessee, I was probably about, when I was in elementary school, because I went to elementary, middle school, and high school in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Okay. And so tell me about being brought up in kind of middle Tennessee there. What was it like being brought up in that area?
Well, it was, to me, Tennessee reminds me a lot of Alabama.
Yeah.
I know, it's about the same. Of course, I lived right outside of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. That's where Clarksville is.
Yeah.
And when it's grown, you know, it just grew because of the military. But, you know, it's just the country lifestyle.
Yeah. And you said you had any siblings? Or
I have a twin sister.
Yeah.
So she was the smart one.
Yeah. I don't know, you're pretty smart,
one.
John.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Either but, that
but
or smart
she was a straight A. I was BC average, you know. And she was the good one, and I was the wild one. But, you know, then I have a twin brother and sister that are 5 years younger.
So your mom and dad just had an act for having twins? Or
well, my mom, my husband, I mean, not my husband, my dad, I didn't know my dad.
Hmm.
And then she had my sister and I with him.
Hmm.
And then she remarried and had the other two. So she was the one that had was the twin producer.
Wow, so she just thought she'd have twins every time.
I guess.
Huh. And so are you and your twin, are you the oldest? Or
I'm 8 minutes older.
8 minutes older,
Minutes older.
And that's a big thing when you're a twin.
I get, yeah.
Yeah, because if you're the oldest.
And I was the oldest of all of them, I was the oldest, so. That's why my mom named me Sean. She said the first child she ever had, she was going to name Sean. And that was it.
And how do you spell Sean?
S-H-A-U-N.
Yeah. And so Sean was the firstborn, and you guys grew up a little bit in California, but Tennessee.
Right.
And so what took you on your path to being here at the mission?
Well, I've had a drinking problem. I started drinking really with my mom and dad when I was like 12 years old.
Hmm.
You know, they like I said, they were old hippies, so they smoked marijuana and drink, and I was the one who joined in with them because they let, you know, my sister wouldn't have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
She'd go to her room, she wouldn't drink, you know, but I would. Hmm. They'd let me. So I, you know, with them, you know, my lifestyle wasn't, you know, my mom and dad are both passed at this time. So, you know, wasn't the great. My mom and dad, we weren't shown love, you know, and the only time they really ever told us they loved us was when they were drinking. So that was, and so when I got out of high school and I graduated high school, that's when I just started drinking. Of course, partying, you know, after he got out of high school. And then I married my first husband, which, you know, I had my two daughters with him.
Amy. How old were you when you got married?
I was 21.
21. Pretty young.
Just turned 21. I had Amy in February. Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, but I didn't drink when I was pregnant. Hmm. Thank you, Lord. I did not drink when I was pregnant with any of my girls. But, I could quit during that time. I wasn't full-fledged into my alcoholism at that time, but I would drink. And then when after I had my girls, I continued to drink after they were born.
And how old were you when you had each child?
So they were 7 years apart.
Okay.
So Amy was, Amy right now is 33. Ashley is 28. And Allison is 18. Well, Allison and Ashley had a good gap between them because I remarried.
Yeah.
And then my second husband, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, I loved him. I love my husbands, but I wasn't in love with him. I just married him because I've always been insecure. So I think just to have somebody, you know.
Were your husbands drinkers at all?
My first husband, yeah, he was, you know, they all both had Harley Davidson, so we were into the drinking scene, you know. So, yeah, the partying came into.
Doing some bars and stuff like that.
Now, my second husband didn't drink that much. He didn't. He made me quit drinking before I married him.
So did you do riding on the Harleys? Or?
Oh, I loved riding the Harleys. You know, I loved it. At that time, I rode them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Went to all the biker parties.
Yeah.
And, you know,
a little bit of drinking going on there?
Oh, a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
A lot of drinking and, you know, a lot of drugs, unfortunately. But
so not much church or anything when you were young?
No, I did not. My mom was Methodist, but she didn't take us. I don't remember going to church with her. My grandparents were Seventh-day Adventist, and we would go to church with them. They lived in Collegedale, Tennessee. That's right when we moved to California, from California. Down by Chattanooga, and so we went to Seventh Day. You know, went to church with them, but we didn't go to church. I mean, I always believed in God.
Yeah,
but I wasn't in the church.
Yeah, not much culture of that in your house at all.
Not at all.
Wow. So you get married, and through the years, you would stop drinking when you would have a baby.
Yes.
But then you get right back into it.
Right back on it.
Yeah.
Right.
When do you think that really became an issue in your life?
It really became an issue, actually, when I was married to my second husband. And I was married to him about 12 years. And I just was unhappy in the marriage. It just continued to get... I worked. I had some good jobs. But then the drinking started... I'd start going to work drunk or drinking while I was at work, you know, and I'd lose my jobs, and that's when it got real bad, and then I would start leaving and going somewhere, you know, and not coming home, but then we divorced in 2012.
Did you try to keep the drinking from your family at all? Were you hiding it?
Oh, yes, I hid it.
You?
I would hide it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hid it, but he always knew when I was drinking.
Yeah.
You know, my girls say, they tell me now, you know, they never noticed because I was like I wasn't getting full-fledged drunk there at home. You know, I maintained, I loved to cook and do all that, you know, but I had to drink. I was always drinking. I felt like I needed to drink all the time.
To
do anything.
Drinking, you couldn't hold a job very well?
I did it first while I was married to my second. Actually, my first husband, I worked two jobs. He didn't work. He was disabled, and I worked two jobs while he would take care of the girls, and I, you know, I worked. So, but then drinking when I got home from work, but the drinking started going, you know, while I was working. That was at the end of my second marriage.
Yeah,
that's why I just kept. I just thought I needed it all the time.
And what was that? Why was it that you felt like you needed it?
I don't know. I just
was there anything tragic that happened in your life, or
well, like I had some, you know, when I was younger, you know, of course I was, I was molested, and I didn't have a good upbringing. But I don't, I can't really tell you why I thought I needed that drink, but I could not. I didn't think I could. I just needed it.
Yeah. I've done a lot of interviews through the years, and I've always found that there seems to be something that in the background happens. And you said you were molested. Do you think that somewhat was a reason you kept turning to it?
I blocked that out till I didn't remember it till I was 21 years old.
Wow.
Like I was in my 20s. I'm maybe not 21, but I was in my 20s, and I remember it. I just remembered it. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, my parents drank. They drank a lot.
Yeah.
All I ever know, you know, my
alcoholic
mom.
Alcoholic drinking?
Alcohol.
Were they?
Yeah. And smoking. Yeah. You know, but my mom would work. And
but they weren't just, they weren't just like drinking, you know, at a meal or something. They were alcoholics.
They
wouldn't
even, I don't even hardly, they never ate till the, at the end of the night, you know.
Oh, wow.
I never did see them eat. They would, you know, they would just drink.
They were drinkers.
And my mom, well, I mean, she, when she'd get off of work, my dad would have her drink. You know, waiting for her when she got home.
Yeah.
And they drink till they go to bed, and that's all I know. And I mean, I remember when I was 10 years, when I was, I don't know how old I was, but I got into some of their liquor. This was before, it was like 10 or 11 years old once I moved. I was, after we moved from California, I remember getting into their liquor. And it was terrible.
Just not beer, they were hard liquor folks, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, was there any, with their drinking, was there any abuse or anything, or were they just
no, they kind of, they didn't abuse, you know, with, you know, spanking with the belt.
Yeah.
But not anything.
But you said they didn't say too much about loving the kids.
No, that's the only time they would ever tell them, you know, they loved us was when they were drunk, or, you know, that's, we weren't raised, you know, I always try with my girls, even, you know, to eat dinner with them and, you know, to just be a part of their life and show them love and, you know, because we weren't. Wow. We didn't get to go to school, but, you know, they wouldn't take us to school functions like basketball or anything like that, you know, because I liked basketball even though I was short, but I liked to play basketball and we just couldn't play it. They wouldn't take us and do anything.
So the
like
camera
that
doesn't show. How tall are you?
5 foot.
See?
Well, I used to be 5'1", but somehow I got knocked down a few inches, about an inch. But no.
Listen, there's no height in basketball. You can play basketball.
Well, I was a good shooter.
Yeah.
I just,
yeah.
I, you know, yeah.
I have a daughter that's fairly tall, though, right?
I mean, know.
So.
Yes.
She likes basketball, too.
Yeah.
So you get married and have your children, and so how did you end up at the mission?
Okay, well, I ended up with the mission. So after I, you know, divorced in 2012, then I met the two crazies. And the second one, I mean, I kept taking them back.
And what do you mean by two crazies? What do you mean by that?
I'd say the crazies, they were abusive. I put them in jail between the both of them about 5 times.
Were these boyfriends?
Yes, yeah. They were crazy boyfriends.
Okay.
But they were, of course, drugs and alcohol played a good part of that. So, the second boyfriend, we were tired of Clarksville, and so we were going to go to Florida because it was about the hurricane seasons where he could get some construction job in Florida. So we hitchhiked from Clarksville, and we made it to Fort Payne, where basically we hit Madisonville, Tennessee, where I went to jail for public intoxication. We hit Georgia. I went to jail for public every county we went out, you know, public intoxication. We got to Fort Payne, and I got put in jail there, and it was right around Christmas 2017, and I was supposed to have been in jail through Christmas, But the magistrate or somebody bonded me out. So I got out. We were living in a tent outside of Lowe's in Fort Payne. It was cold. And I guess he'd already made arrangements while I was in jail for somebody that he was going back to Clarksville. But I got out early. So I made my way to where the tent was. And it had been cold. It had been hot raining the day before, and it froze, got cold the night before, and the next day. So the tent and everything in it was frozen. And anyway, we were drinking, and we got into an argument. And that's when he took a tree limb and hit me overside my head right here, knocked me backwards, off my feet, broke my nose, blacked both my eyes. And then he just took off, and he had already had somebody at there was a Waffle House up there. I guess she was going to drive him to Clarksville. By the time I made it up there trying to find him, he'd already gone.
Wow.
So there I am. It's like a week before Christmas, 20 degrees out. You know, I'm just in bad shape. And so all I knew to do was to fly a sign. I flew a sign at Walmart up there, and I guess everybody felt sorry for me because it was cold Christmas and I looked terrible. And I'd make...
So talk about flying a sign.
That's when you write on there, you know, homeless.
Yeah. Need food. Yeah.
You know, and I would make... I had some people give me $100 bills.
Wow.
And they'd come up to me, so there was a hotel across the street. Of course, there's a liquor store right next to the hotel and a store there. So I made like $200 in an hour. And I went over there and, you know, got a hotel for two nights and stayed in there. Then after that ran out, I went back out. The next day, I had enough money for another night's hotel, two nights. And these people came up to me and they said they wanted to help me. And I said, well, you know, I have some money. You know, they were going to buy me some food, and I had some money for the hotel. They said, we're going to come back. And I said, well, I'm going to, you know, I got enough money to stay at a hotel across the street. So by the time I left and went over to the hotel, and I was doing my laundry in the bathtub, because all I had was what I had on my, what I was wearing. And I had a hoodie on. There was a knock at the door. And it was police officers, and they said they were doing a safe check. I don't know how they knew what room I was in, maybe from the people at the hotel. But I look back now, and I know that was God that sent them, how they got there, you know, because they gave me the number to the domestic violence shelter in Albertville. So I spent the night there, and then after all my liquor was gone the next day, everything, I called them, and they came and got me. So I stayed at Albertville, and... got a job at Foodland in a domestic violence house up there. Got a job with my first check. Went straight to the liquor store.
Yep.
Got me a drink. And I ended up staying out. And then another girl was at the place. She got a hotel room, so we stayed out. Well, you can't stay out at a domestic violence shelter because they'll put you out.
Yep.
So the next day, they found the Downtown Rescue Mission online, and they called. And then they brought me here. This was February 2018.
Okay. Let me talk about flying a sign for a second.
Okay.
So, you know, I tell people all the time, they'll come up and say, hey, you know, I'm a good Christian, and I see those people with the sign under the bridge or over at Walmart, I give them $10 or I give them $20. And I said, well, I'll tell you what happens with that money more times than not. In fact, the stat is that 95% of the time that you give somebody money, it's either going to their drug addiction or it's going to their alcoholism.
Exactly right.
And so when you were flying your sign, how much of that money went to your alcohol?
Oh, a lot. Probably over half.
You took some for the hotel.
I got enough for the hotel for the two nights.
Yeah.
The rest went cigarettes and alcohol.
Yeah.
So you figure $200, and the hotel was probably, what, $60? So probably about $70.
And at that time, you would rather drink than eat, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But people would buy me food, so that's the thing. That's the thing there, too.